This evening, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 3. And as we have begun the study of the book of Jeremiah, again, I do want to reiterate the fact that as I read through the book of Jeremiah, there were many things that jumped off the page. And my desire is to go and just make an outline maybe of every chapter. And there's more in some chapters than the others. Most of these now, God is identifying the sin of Judah. And it is the job of Jeremiah to pronounce the judgment of God against their sin. But today's study is just a little bit different. There are many things that we could talk about in this chapter, but the main point and the thing that we're going to see is the faithfulness of God to His people Israel. There is one thing that we want to know and understand, that God chose the nation Israel. And the Bible tells us that He will never forsake His people. I'm going to give you the main point at the beginning. No matter how far Israel had fallen and backslidden away from God, God never forsook them. They went into chastening. They went into captivity. They suffered greatly because of their sin against God. God remained faithful to His people. They were the people that He had elected to be His people. He had chosen them to be His people. And therefore, the promises that He made, the covenants that He made with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob, the covenants that God had made, He's going to be faithful to those covenants. The covenants that He made with David, He's going to be faithful to that covenant. Even though the people were not faithful to Him, He's faithful to them. And that's what we're going to see here today in Jeremiah chapter number 3. That even though the nation of Israel was not faithful to God, God is faithful to them. Now what does that mean for us? Here's what it means for us. We know that we have been elected. We know that we are a chosen generation. We know that we are predestinated before the foundation of the world. We know that we are the people of God. God will never forsake us. God will always be with us. And even though we may have to go into the chastening hand of God, God will never forsake us. So that's a confidence and assurance that we can have today. And so that's what we're going to learn. So let's just read in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 3, and let's just begin with reading the first 5 verses. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again unto me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, as we open up your word tonight, we're thankful for your word. And we're thankful, God, that you have left these teachings for us, that we can learn from them. Lord, that they can be for our admonition, that we will learn from their mistakes, and we will learn from how you dealt with the nation of Israel. And God, we can apply that to our lives, and we won't follow the same path that they have followed. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us. We pray that it will open our hearts. And Lord, as the nation of Israel was not ashamed of their sin, their heart was hardened. Help our hearts not to be hardened tonight, dear God. Help our hearts to be open. Help our hearts to be a good soil, softened by your word. I pray, God, that you'll encourage us to remain faithful to you because you are faithful to us. Just speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. Lord, we need to learn as we're living in these last days, in these perilous times, Lord. We need to be drawn nearer unto you so that we don't fall prey to the wiles of the devil, so that our hearts aren't turned away from you and turned to the world. That God, that when you look at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, God, that you'll find faith in her. You'll find your people, God, standing faithful to you even in these perilous times. So God, today we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And so God begins this with an accusation of them playing the harlot. They have gone away from him. And this question is, if a man puts away his wife and she goes and marries another man, should he take his wife back again? And it says that if you've done that, that would cause the land to be polluted. God is making an accusation here against the nation of Judah because they have played the harlot with many lovers. In other words, they have gone after many other idols. They have followed after many other gods. They have gone away from the way of God and to the ways of the gods of this world. They have played the harlot and they have set their affections on many things. Yet God says this, even though you have played the harlot with many lovers, God says, yet return unto me, again unto me, saith the Lord. The word for us today is this, that no matter how far we may have gone away from God, no matter how much sin we might have allowed in our lives, no matter how much we have turned and followed the ways of the world, no matter how much we might have not lived our lives in a way that are pleasing to God, let's return and repent, and God will receive us back. Now, you remember last week we talked about the fact that it is the impression today that people think, well, you live however you want to live, and then all you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry, and God will be ready to accept you back. And we saw how that wasn't the case with the nation of Judah, that God said, you're going to cry to me, and I'm not going to listen. The point is this. God will not listen only because He is allowing you to continue on in the chastening. God's not going to listen because He knows your heart and He knows whether you are truly repentant of your sin, where you truly have godly sorrow which works under repentance, or whether you are just wanting the chastening hand of God to lead. You know, you can tell, can't you, when your child, if you begin to chasten them, if they are truly sorry, or whether they just want you to stop disciplining them. Right? You know that. People say, well, I'm sorry. And they're not really sorry, they just don't want to be disciplined. Well, that's the difference between Jeremiah 2 and Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 2, the people aren't truly repentant, they're not truly confessing their sins, they just want the chastening to stop. God is saying in Jeremiah chapter number 3, if you truly with a repentant heart will return unto me, I'll be there for you. And that's always the call of God, to return with a truly repentant heart. Now God is going to continue in verses 2 through 5, and He's going to talk to them about their sin in verse number 2. Look at all the high places. The high places are the places that have been set aside to worship false gods. He said, lift up thine eyes to all the high places and see. Look at all the idolatry that is within your borders. Look at all the places where you have turned away from me. You have polluted the land with your whoredoms and your wickedness. The sin that has been involved in your worshiping the false god. Now I want you to notice God said because of this there are consequences to your sin. The showers have been withholden and there has been no latter rain. God has caused the rain to stop. The latter rain is that rain that comes late in the season that prepares the crop for harvesting. Which, what this means, since the latter rain is not given, is that the crops are growing, and when they should just begin to start producing, the rain that's necessary to cause the fruit to prosper doesn't come. And so it gives you the idea that the vines are withering in the field. It means that the plants look good, but there's no produce on them. It gives you the idea that sometimes even in your life there's things that in the beginning they look good and it looks like it's going to be prosperous, but in the end it does not prove prosperous. People face that sometimes. People will make decisions and they'll think, well, it must be the right decision. It must be the godly decision because look how well it's going. And then the latter rain did not come. There are consequences of sin. You make decisions to go against God. You make decisions to go against God's ways. And I guarantee you, God says, every son I receive, I chasten. And if you be without the chastisement, you're not my son. I can guarantee you this. If you are the son of God, you will receive chastening. You cannot live in sin without chastening if you are the son of God. If you are the son of God and you have sin in your life, you will be chastened. There are consequences to sin. And sometimes the consequences to sin, you may never recover from those consequences. I want you to understand that. So God says there's consequences. Notice it says you have a whore's forehead, which means they are not ashamed of their sin. Thou refusest to be ashamed. And we should be careful that we never become ashamed, come to the place where we're no longer ashamed of sin. This means that they are giving no thought to God. They are uninterested in their moral welfare. This is the accusation that God is making against the nation of Judah. You are uninterested in your moral welfare. And that can be said in many places in our country today. People are not interested in their morality. They're not interested in whether their lifestyle is pleasing to God. Where the way they present themselves, whether it's pleasing to God. They don't care whether their speech is pleasing to God. They don't care whether their dress is pleasing to God. They don't care whether their actions are pleasing to God. That people are not ashamed today to sin against God. That was a dangerous position for Judah to be in, and it's a dangerous position for us to be in today. Let us never come to the place that we're afraid, we're not afraid, to sin against God. No longer ashamed. God says, because of that, my anger is reserved. Now let's look at verse number 6. And we're going to see that God says, I want you to look at the nation of Israel. Now, he's making these accusations towards the nation of Judah, and he says, I want you to look at Israel. Verse 6. The Lord also said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? I want you to use the example of what I did to Israel. She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stocks. And yet for all of this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Now here's what God is saying, Judah, look what I did to Israel. When Israel sinned against me, When Israel committed idolatry, when Israel committed whoredoms with the gods of this world, what did I do? When Israel backslid, I caused them to go into captivity. Remember, the divided kingdom, Israel went into captivity first. Judah remained a nation for a period of time after Israel went into captivity. And God is saying, Judah, look, look at what happened to Israel. They were punished. They went into captivity. They were taken away from their land. You should listen. You should see what happened to them. And you should turn away from your wicked ways as you look at what happened to the nation of Israel. But what happened? Judah did not. Judah did not learn from the mistakes of Israel. When Judah should have saw what God did in the nation of Israel and should have turned from her wicked ways, she would not turn after God with her whole heart, but feignedly. Let me say this is an error today in many people's lives. They go to church camp for a week and they make a commitment to the Lord. But maybe it's not a wholehearted commitment. It's feignedly. In other words, they're trying to act like they've made a change in their life. They know what they need to do, and they want to try to do what's right, but they're never with their whole heart following God. This is true in many people's lives today. They are not wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. They're kind of half-hearted. They're kind of putting on the show. They're kind of wanting to look like they're trying to do the right thing. But they're not totally surrendered to the Lord. God said as He looked at the nation of Judah, because you're not wholeheartedly following Me, because you're not truly committed, you're going to go into captivity also. God sees through our games that we tried to play with Him. He sees through and recognizes the faking of our heart and how our heart is not truly sold out to Him. We should learn the lessons from Israel. We should learn the lessons from Judah. We should learn the lessons from others. And we look back and we can see people who have started off for the Lord and then they made a decision to follow the ways of the world and they suffered the consequences of their sin. We should learn the lessons and not have to follow the same path. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Notice what God is going to do. God is turning the focus now from the nation of Judah to the nation of Israel. And He's saying, listen, I'm not going to keep my anger with you forever. I'm going to be merciful to you. God is going to recall the nation of Israel. What we actually are going to get into now is the promises of God for the future of Israel. The things that God are going to say here, is going to say here about the nation of Israel, many of them have not been accomplished yet. So we're looking into the future when God is going to restore the nation of Israel. And it's really, much of it's going to take place in the millennial reign. But here's the promise. God has not cast off His people forever. God is not going to have His anger against them forever. God is, because He is a merciful God, He's going to draw them back to Himself. And here's the thing for us. God is not angry with us. God will not chasing us until He destroys us. God is a merciful God. And let's be thankful for the mercy of God. Here's what God requires or asks. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. Here's what God is saying. If you desire to be brought back into the blessings of God, if you desire to be brought out of the place of chastening, acknowledge your sin. We need people today who are willing to say, I've sinned against God. I've transgressed the ways of God. I've not walked in the ways of the Lord. I have sinned. And not just in a general way. So, oh, well, we're all sinners. We all sin more or less a little every day. That is not really identifying with your sin. That's excusing your sin. Understand that. If you say, well, we're all sinners. We all sin a little more or less every day. All you're doing is excusing your sin. But if you're really confessing your sin, you're against saying, the only have I sinned, as David did. You're truly going to confess the wickedness and the violence that you have in your heart, and you're truly going to have a repentant heart, and that's the only way that can be brought back to the end of the blessings of God, is to truly confess the wickedness that is in your life. Turn. Turn. Acknowledge your sin. And turn, because I am married unto you. Now look at the promises that God says He's going to give the nation of Israel. God desires the confession of the nation of Israel. He's going to remain faithful because of His marriage covenant that He made with them. But notice when He says, I'll take one of you a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now this is talking about the future of Israel. When they're going to be called back in the millennial kingdom, and God is going to call them from the cities of the north and bring them back to the city of Jerusalem. And they will be, verse 16, it shall come pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land. In those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more of the ark of the covenant. God is going to call, there's going to be a time when God is going to call the nation of Israel back from the lands in which they are in, which they have gone to because of the captivity. He's going to call them back to Jerusalem, and they will be multiplied and increased in the land. There'll be no more need for the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time shall they call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. We know this is when God calls them, when the people return during the millennial reign of Christ. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, the land that I have given for inheritance unto your fathers. Notice this, the divided kingdom will be unified again. Those things that separated the nation of Judah from the nation of Israel, those divisions will be done away with. And they too shall be one again. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a godly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. So God is saying that you have gone away from me, and you have played the harlot with the Lord, or with the world, but you shall come back to me. And what happens? Verse 21 says, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. What happened to them when they understood? Repentance came into their heart and their life. God says, return, you backsliding children. And here's what's happening. And I will heal your backsliding. Know this today. Let's apply this to our nation today. Let's apply this to your life today. You have gone away from God. God no longer has first place in your life. God is no longer the Lord of your life. You're making decisions according to the ways of the world. You've been under the chastening hand of God. God says, return unto me from your backsliding, and I will heal your backslidings. God says, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. If you will return from your backslidings. If you will return to God, then I will heal your backslidings and I will be the Lord your God. Verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God. Israel came to the place where they knew that because of their wickedness, because of their turning away from God, that the labor of their hands has been devoured. What they had given their lives for had been devoured because of their sin. And now they're saying, we lie down in our shame. Our confusion covers us. They're admitting their sin. They are admitting the place where they have gone away from God. And let me say this. The most dangerous place for you to live is in a place where you cannot recognize sin. The most dangerous place for someone to live is in the place where there is no longer conviction over sin. If you live your life without conviction, that's a dangerous place to live. Dangerous place to live. You can sin and it not affect you. It's a dangerous place to live. They said, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Israel came to the place where they recognized their sin, where they recognized how they had gone away from God. The message for us today is this. It seems like God is far away. It seems like you're not as close to the Lord as you once were. If it seems like that there's not as much joy in salvation as there once was. It seems like there's not as much excitement in serving the Lord. It just seems like the Lord never deals with your heart anymore. It just seems like you're just kind of blah when it comes to your salvation and your walk with the Lord. There's a reason why that is. The reason is because you have turned your back on God. The reason is that you have departed from the ways of the Lord. And what needs to take place in your life is you need to admit that you have sin in your life. And the whole problem is not the preacher, and it's not the church, and it's not the people around you. The problem is that you have turned your back away from God, and you have backslid away from Him. And what needs to take place is you need to repent, and you need to confess that you have sin in your life, and you need to identify that sin, and you need to confess that sin, then He'll be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you'll be drawn back to God. Remember Scripture says this, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. The reason that it seems like things aren't good as they used to be is because you're living in a backslidden state. You have sin in your life, and maybe you don't know what your sin is. Maybe you need to do like David did and say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And ask the Lord to reveal it to you so you can confess it and you can get back to the place where you're living in the blessings of God. Because that's what happened to Israel. And until they came to the place where they admitted their sin and they were ashamed of their sin and they admitted that they had sinned against the Lord, even from their youth, they had not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Until they came to that place, they could not be drawn back to God. Listen, your sin will find you out, and your sin and your iniquity will separate away between you and God. And just as Judah would not listen, some of you today maybe are not listening. But just as Judah heard, and Judah listened, and Judah returned, you need to return to the Lord today. Because I can guarantee you it's no fun living in a backslidden state. It's no fun living away from God. It's no fun living away from the blessings of God. May tonight need to heed this message and return unto the Lord. Let's stand for a word of prayer and be dismissed in a word of prayer.